Family and friends, we have come together this afternoon in commemoration of Mr. Martin Slingeland, who passed away on April the 7th at the age of 94 years old. May the Lord be mindful of each one of you and remember us in mercy as we will listen to his holy words before we will go to the cemetery for this solemn occasion. Let us now read from God's holy and precious word, the book of Revelation chapter 7, from verse 11 through 17. Uit Gods woord lezen wij Openbaring 7, de versen 11 tot en met 17. The last book of the Bible, that is Revelation, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 11 to the end. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory, and wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Thus far. Let us now seek the Lord's face together in prayer. Laat ons bidden. O Lord, God of heaven and earth, our maker and sustainer, God of life and death, eternal Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, thou art the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of Israel, and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we come before thee in the name of him who is Israel's Messiah, the Savior of the world, the King of the Church, the Mediator between a holy God and mortal, sinful creatures. We are reminded of our mortality in this day, where one who was and is very dear unto us has been taken away out of this life at the time appointed by thee between the Good Friday, on which we commemorated the atoning suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the day of Easter, on which we commemorated the resurrection of Jesus Christ out of the dead. O Lord, on that silent Saturday, a dear father, grandfather, great grandfather, even a great, great grandfather, a brother-in-law, an uncle, and whatever the relationship has been, entered as we may heartily believe, into that rest that remains for the people of God. His strife came to an end. His pilgrimage through this wilderness was completed. He had fought that good fight. He had finished his course. And now the crown laid up for him was received. What a wonder it must have been for him who had come to know himself as a child of Adam, as a fallen creature of the dust, as one who had rebelled against God in Adam, in the Garden of Eden, who had confirmed that choice by words, deeds, and thoughts, and who had never asked for God if God had not asked for him. In his sovereign good pleasure, in that one-sided love, in that free and sovereign grace. Oh, what a wonder, Lord, when it pleases thee to seek out a rebel, one who is not worthy, and to bring him to the place where God becomes God, and where man becomes man, where we become clay in the hands of the great potter, and where the Lord is just in all his ways and in all his works, where God deserves all honor, and we deserve nothing but shame, but where the eyes of the soul are opened unto Christ, revealed by the power of thy word and Holy Spirit. Lord, it is that wonder that we all stand in need of, without which we cannot live, or we may think we can, and that we can do without God, that we can do without Christ, that we can do without thy word, and that we can do without the leading of thy Holy Spirit. It is a grave mistake that we can still manage to get through this life. But how? Oh, how shall we ever depart out of this life and meet God, be called before that judgment seat, and to have to give an account of all that we did? Oh, wilt thou bind that upon our hearts, upon the hearts of the youngest in our midst, and the oldest as well. Lord, we remember him who has been in our midst for so many years, who was the oldest living member of the congregation of Lethbridge in this place, who had become dear to us. Oh, it is yet so unreal that his voice will not be heard anymore, that we cannot see him anymore. It must yet become reality. Only a few weeks ago, he seemed yet so strong. We realized that he was old, but that his end was so near is something that we did little realize. Lord, yet it was his time, and we are here together to commemorate him, to acknowledge thee for all that thou hadst given in him. No, he was not a perfect man, and we have heard him speak about his own unworthiness. We have heard him say under tears that he became a greater and greater sorrow as a sinner before God, and that thus also that wonder of salvation became greater and greater. What will it be for thy people to be delivered from self, from everything that weighed them down, and then in perfection to adore God and to cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," to receive that crown of victory and to cast it at the feet of the Lamb. Lord, we pray, will thou bless the words that he has spoken during his life? May they be like seeds that was sown, and that some of those little seeds may yet germinate. Oh, that under the dew of the Holy Spirit, that they may take roots and bear fruit unto the true conversion of those still living for their own account. But that those words may also be comforting for those who know that life of grace. We pray that so the numerous offspring may tread the footsteps of this man who was so thirsty and hungry for the words of the living God, and to whom thy house was his most precious place. Lord, we pray for all who are mourning. There is that empty place, that void will be felt, that grief is experienced, but also those who are alone, who lost a dear one and feel it in a painful way today, widowers as well as widows, and those who have lost a dear child or grandchild. Oh, then there are many wounds, and all of us have come with our own cross. Oh, that we might seek that true comfort in him, the great cross bearer, that room will be made for him in the way of true conversion and conviction and discovering grace, that the calling may be sanctified in the midst of the congregation and in the midst of the brothers of the consistory, in which consistory the old Mr. Slingeland has also served during several years. Lord, we ask thee for the family as gathered in this place. Maybe some of them had wished to be here and were not able to come to this place. Wij denken ook aan degene die meeluisteren door de kerktelefoon in Nederland. O, het is de plaats van waar vader en moeder Slingeland gekomen zijn, ruim 10 jaar na de Tweede Wereldoorlog. Ze zijn als het ware over de Jordaan getrokken met een staf en een kruikje. Maar ze zijn geworden tot een groot volk. En er zijn er ook van hun kleinkinderen in het bijzonder die in Nederland wonen. Daar is ook een dochter met haar geliefden, maar ze is nu in het midden van ons. Zij, van al de kinderen, mocht zijn bij het heengaan van haar vader. O Heere, wilt u haar en wilt u al de familie gedenken in het oude vaderland, en dat uw woord zou mogen zijn als een hamer en een vuur om harde harten te verbreken, maar dat het ook mocht wezen als een balsem in geslagen zielenwonden. Oh, wilt thou now remember us, Lord, and that together with the friends, with the workers of Martin Brothers as the funeral company, oh Lord, where they are serving and helping and assisting at a time of much grief. We want to thank and recognize thee also for the way that they do their very best to alleviate the pain and suffering at a time like this. Oh, help thy servant when he is called to speak at this time, that he may fall away, that he may point to the great master, to his sender, and that yet souls may be won over to seek Christ, because without Christ there is no life, and in Christ is a fullness of salvation and contentment and joy and peace that passes all understanding. We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Morning, family, friends, and all who are here at this time to show your interest and to give support to the family Slingerland. I commemorated already during the prayer that Mr. and Mrs. Slingerland came from far in 1956. If I am not mistaken, they crossed the Jordan, or what is more than a Jordan River, they crossed the Atlantic Ocean and they came to this land, to Canada. The first period of their stay in this beautiful country was a difficult period. Everything had to be built up as from the foundations, and there were hard moments, especially when we think about the time they were still living in Tempest, when their house burned down. And that happened not just once. That happened a second time when they had moved to Coaldale. Then again, the house burned down. Was Father Slingerland devastated? Was he desperate? He wasn't. Was he rebellious? Did he clench his fist towards heaven? Why must this happen to me? Why do, as I think of the title of a book that I once saw, why do bad things happen to good people? No. A good thing happened to one who had to say, I'm not a good person. The Lord showed that everything is temporary in this life. And he said, Lord, it is good. Even though we are not insured, even though we sit on the ash heaps, it is good. But because perhaps it will show my children that we have no continuing city here below, that nothing is solid, that nothing is lasting. Oh, Lord, perhaps it will cause them to see that only in God there is strength and salvation and security. Martin and Hillegonda Slingerland became the parents and grandparents of a numerous offspring. In total, 15 children, most of them here in Canada, were born. They had to lose one of their children. But the Lord also gave many grandchildren and many great grandchildren. When we visited the couple for the first time, yes, there were already many grandchildren. I wrote down the number. They were approximately 50 at that time. But just to think of it, how they increased in number in these last 8 years, even to the point that there is a great, great grandchild. May the Lord also bless that child. And yes, the Lord gave so much. He gave you as children and grandchildren much in your parents and grandparents. But he gave to Mr. and Mrs. Slingerland also much in their children and in their grandchildren. We don't want to single out one of them. But how special it was that about 10 years ago, when there was need for it, that room was created for them, that an addition was built to the house of them and Ali and their children, and that they could move in at their old age and become part of the family and be the patriarch and for a little while the matriarch in that family, as they already were in the extended family. But that closeness, that togetherness in that house, it was something that did him so much good. And yes, we do know that the time came that the old grandmother had to exchange time for eternity. That was on May the 30th, 2005, at the age of 87. But then all the more, it was a blessing for father and grandfather Slingeland to be there with his children and his dear grandchildren. Family and friends, the first time that my wife and I visited Mr. and Mrs. Slingeland was on the 8th of September 2004. At the end of that visit, Mr. Slingeland asked me to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1. That was kind of unusual. He said, would you please read that chapter? And when I had done so, he said, now look at verse 15. And then he told me something that had taken place in his life. He said, verse 15 has a very special meaning in my life. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He told me the story that when they were married for 60 years, he had asked Mr. Garrett Schipper, former elder and presently organist, Mr. Garrett Schipper, to make a tablet with these words written on it. And he spoke about these words under tears. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said, Domine, dat ben ik niet met Paulus eens. In that respect, I do not agree with Paul. He was not the worst, but I am the worst. He disagreed with the apostle. He took the lowest place. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was his only hope. And the Lord brought him to that place where he found no merits in himself. Yes, we can say many good things about him, but we are not here to exalt him. Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory. There is no glory in a sinful creature. He would have cringed if he would think that his name was lifted up in a service like that. No, God all and man nothing. That was not just once the case in his life. That came back time and again. I remember in the spring of 2007 that when I visited him for an hour because he had a broken rib, then he spoke of what took place in November 2006. It was dark in his life. He felt so hard and he felt so cold. And then the Lord came over with a word that he found in a daily devotional of Philpott. It was a word from the prophets. It was a word that broke his heart and caused it to overflow with love. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. And he looked me in the eyes, and he said those last words in particular. He delighteth in mercy. Dat was een leven. Niets uit ons, alles uit hem. Zo reist men naar Jeruzalem. Ik de grootste zondaar. Maar Christus Jezus is in de wereld gekomen om de zondaren zalig te maken. En zo mocht hij ook vertellen hoe dat woord uit Micha 7 vers 18 voor zijn ziel was gebruikt. Gods woord was zijn eten en drinken. God's word was his food and drink. A very striking example of that was not even so long ago. It's the last time that he attended a seniors morning. That was only a month ago. This morning we would have had the next seniors morning, but we cancelled it for this occasion. So this was just a month ago. I had spoken, as was my custom, about the holy war of John Bunyan, how that Prince Emmanuel had conquered the city Mensal with his gracious presence, had gladdened the hearts of the residents of that soul, but then they became careless and Prince Emmanuel left, and the glory of God departed. The Spirit withdrew himself from the city of Mensal, and it took a long time before he came back. When it was the time to say goodbye to each other, he came forward and he gave me this little note. And he said, what you have spoken about this morning, that is what I have listened to and have experienced in the past week. And here were 15 sermons about Ezekiel, which I was privileged to deliver in 2006 and 2008, they were all listed, and he had listened to these sermons, and it was so vivid on his mind. He said, that is for you. That is the last paper that he gave me. He did not only listen to sermons, but he re-listened. And he digested. Typical for Mr. Slingerland. Did he perhaps have a premonition that the end was coming? Who can tell? But on the last day of 2011, he wrote a few things down. It was his custom to make notes of everything that happened almost from day to day. Phone calls, grandchildren who had been there, you name it. Everything was written down. And then at the end of the year, he would make a kind of overview of the most important things, and that was it. But this time, on December the 31st of last year, he wrote some extra thoughts, some reflections. This is what he wrote, and I translate into English. Let me first read it in Dutch for those who are listening in the Netherlands. Oudejaarsavond. Dominee Zonneveld, 2 Petrus 3, vers 10 tot 12. Niemand overleden in 2011. Weer een terugblikje over 2011. Weer 1 jaar ouder. Het voelt soms of het dubbel hard gaat. Er passeert ons steeds meer omdat we niet alles meer horen. Wat worden we nog steeds lieflijk verzorgd? Mag wel eens opgemerkt worden, hoor. Nog steeds lieflijk verzorgd. Bovenal zijn er herinneringen van ogenblikken en plaatsen waar de Heere betoonde nog van ons af te weten. Dat is zo'n wonder, dat nog steeds groter wordt, daar we ons steeds groter zondaar voelen, vooral deze weken, steeds groter schuldenaar. En dan een stukje verder. En zo mochten we met elkaar weer een nieuw jaar ingaan en dit nog opschrijven. Hij schreef dat kennelijk op 1 januari. Vorig jaar de laatste zus. Dit jaar de laatste broer overleden. Veel roepstemmen gekomen. En ongemakken in de familie. En nog alle gespaard. So, what he says here, what he writes, is New Year's Eve. Reverend Sommerveld preached from 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. No one's passed away in 2011. And again, we look back for a moment to this past year. We have turned another a year older. Sometimes it feels like things go doubly fast. And many things are no longer noticed or caught by us because we are not able to hear everything any longer. How gently we are still taken care of, and that is something we should duly notice, shouldn't we? Moreover, there are memories of moments and places where the Lord proved to be mindful of us yet. That is such a wonder that becomes increasingly greater because we feel a greater sinner all the time, especially in these weeks. Someone with debts, with nothing but spiritual debts. And then, at the end of this little note, he says, and that's how we were privileged to start a new year, to enter upon a new year together, and that we were permitted to write these things down. Yet there was another thing that he thought, how great, that we may yet write all these things down at such an age. And the Lord had laid that upon his heart and gave him also the strength, the words to do it, often in English, sometimes in Dutch. He couldn't understand it, that the Lord was so good to him. And then he says, last year it was my last sister who passed away, and this year it was the last brother who departed out of this life. So many callings came to us, and there were so many inconveniences in this year, but yet we have been spared till this very moment. Words that he wrote at the turn of the year. And then, I will not quote more, but then a few words that he wrote down on March 25. That's not very long ago. 25 maart. We hadden niet meer gerekend om zondag mee te gaan naar de kerk. Maar zaterdagavond kregen we toch zo'n begeerte daarnaar. En het was of alle hindernissen wegvielen. Geen Tylenols tot zondagmiddag na de kerkdienst. En zo mochten wij weer twee keer opgaan. Wie had dat gedacht? De dominee sprak in de morgen over Jesaja 53 vers 10 en 's avonds over zondag 45. Nadien nog een ander dagboekje van Philpot als naar gewoonte. En dat was weer over Jesaja 53. De tijd van vertrek van onze geliefde leraar nadert snel. Mochten we er nog wat van genieten, nu het nog kan. Vooral op onze hoge leeftijd, iedere keer nog weer. Wat is de Heere toch nog goed voor ons? Het is niet om te bevatten, maar wel waar. Dan komt weer zo boven, wie is een God als gij, die de zonden uw volks vergeeft en de overtredingen van uw erfdeel voorbij gaat. Hij houdt zijn toorn niet in eeuwigheid, want hij heeft lust in goede tierenheid. So this is what he wrote on March 25. We had not counted on it anymore that we could go along to church on Sunday, but on Saturday evening we got such a desire for it, and it was as if all hindrances were taken away. I did not have to take Tylenols until Sunday afternoon after the church service, and that is how we were permitted to go to God's house once more, twice. Who could have thought so? The minister spoke in the morning about Isaiah 53 verse 10 and in the evening about Lord's Day 45. And after that, as was my custom, I read in another daily devotional of Philpot. And again, Isaiah 53 was the topic or subject. The time of departure of our beloved minister is rapidly approaching. Maybe yet enjoy it. Now that it is still possible, especially at our high age, every time again. How good the Lord yet is for us, it cannot be comprehended, but it is nevertheless true. And then what arises once more in our thoughts is, and then he quotes the text from Micah 7, verse 18 that we have mentioned before. Family, dear family, in your grief, we just wanted to give him a voice at this time. The voice of the Lord is more important, we realize it. And we hope to listen to it a moment. But we wanted to lend him a voice for a moment. Because you will not hear his voice any longer in your midst. Others have gone before him. And the most important thing is, can we die? When it's your turn, when it's my turn, can we meet God? And will we be part of that multitude that no man can number, about which we heard in that chapter of the Bible, in that impressive word, Revelation chapter 7. Yes, we heard more about it in the past weeks in our congregation. There was that book. That book in the hand of God as he was sitting on the throne. It was a scroll. It was sealed. It could not be opened. But there was one who came forward, the Lamb of God. The Lion out of the tribe of Judah. He came forward, he received that book, and then he broke the seals one after the other, and as he did so, awe-inspiring things took place. Wars, famines, bloodshed, thunder, lightnings. That meant that the judgments of God would go over the earth. This world would yet become a place of great anguish before Christ would come back. So everything was hopeless. No. Because then when six of those seals have been opened, and before the seventh seal is opened, there's chapter 7. And in that chapter, John, the apostle of love, in exile on the Isle of Patmos, John gets something to hear and something to see. What does he hear? He hears that there are 144,000 who are sealed. They are in the hand of God. Nothing can happen to them. They must go through great tribulation, but they are sealed by God. The Lord keeps his church. He maintains his work. He protects his people in the greatest agony. And not only will they get through it, but they will also come out of it. And that is the second thing, the second part of that chapter. Then John gets something to see. He receives a vision. The Holy Spirit enlightens his eye, and then he may see that there is a great crowd, a multitude that no one can number, and they stand before the throne of God and they sing the praises of the triune God. Are those different people? The 144,000 and that multitude which no man can number? No, they are the same. Because 144,000 is to be taken figurative. It is symbolic. 12 times 12. And then think of the 12 sons of Jacob, the patriarchs of the Old Testament church, and 12, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the founding fathers of the New Testament church. 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. That's a full number. Look, John, you see it? You're so worried about the church. You're so worried about your own congregation, the church of Ephesus, which you can no longer serve. But you don't have to be worried. I look after my church, and none of those elect, bought with the blood of Christ and born again by the Holy Spirit, not one of them will be lacking. Look, they're all there. It is a multitude which no man can number. Friends, do you belong to that church? The most important thing is not to belong to a specific church. Truth is important. Don't forget it. And deal honestly with your soul, that your soul will not be placed upon a sandy foundation. Go where you can hear that cutting and loving truth, where God is exalted to the highest and man is humbled to the lowest, and where it is Christ and no one else as the ground of salvation. But the most important thing for our dear young people and for you as an adult or an elderly person is to become a living member of that church of God. And then the first question is not, will he be saved? Will she enter heaven? But then the most important thing is, will I be saved? Strive! Strive to enter through that narrow gate, because there are many who think they will enter and they will never be able to do so. So, don't count. Don't count. Because you may count wrong. You may add someone who was not counted by God, or you may throw someone away who was counted by God. He has counted his people. Counting, that's not just a matter of statistics, accounting in the Bible and certainly in the book of Revelation means to have power over. Think of David when he wanted to count his subjects. He wanted to have power. He wanted to know how mighty he was. Children, the devil also wants to count. But if God counts you, if he adds you by that true conversion, then the devil cannot count you. Then he has no power over you. Then you are in good hands. Then you belong to that multitude that no man can number. It is the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not one of the sheep and lambs can be snatched out of his hands. And that's the comfort for God's children, despite all the puzzles and the riddles and the attacks and the strife they have to go through, there is that foundation that has this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his. They may even behead him. They may be martyred. But they go home. And they will worship God forever. It's a multitude that comes from every nation, from every kindred, every tongue. It's not only from Israel, but from the world of nations. The greatest wonder is when you may be one of them. John Bunyan said, if I may enter through the gates of that new Jerusalem, then all the bells will be tolling at that time. For you too, if you may finally arrive, they will come from all nations, even from the Dutch nation, probably the worst nation, but also from Canada, from our nation here, from everywhere. Elijah, he thought that he was left alone. And the Lord said, you're mistaken. There are yet 7,000. I've kept them. It's my work. And they have not bowed their knee before the idols. Christ is an eternal king who cannot and doesn't want to be without subjects. He will receive the reward for his labors. And those many people, they will be standing before the throne and before the Lamb. One day they stood before the throne of Satan. But the Lord, he has now brought those people to the throne of his, where they are safe forever. And look, how are they dressed? They have long white robes. And someone was traveling in that ancient world. He would pull up his garment, but when he would arrive, he would let it flow long, so they don't have to travel anymore. It's over. They're home. Long white robes. You may also think of the priests in their white garments serving in the temple. And you may think of a bride in her white dress, adorned for her husband, ready to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And what is there? What do you see in their hands? Palm branches. And then we immediately think of victory. The palm branch of victory in that Roman or Hellenistic world. But don't forget that the Bible is a Jewish book. There is a Jewish background. Palm branches. It makes us think of the Feast of Tabernacles, where those palm branches were lifted up. And why? Well, it was a harvest feast, and they were in the courts of the temple in Jerusalem to praise God for his blessings, but especially they thought back of the wilderness journey. So what does this mean? They have come through this wilderness. Those who are now before the throne of God, they have reached the promised land and they lift up the palm branches. It is the eternal feast of tabernacles. They adore him. They stand in awe. And with a loud voice, they sing. They sing what? Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. No, they do not just mean that salvation comes from God, because that's very true. Nothing of man. It's all of him and through him and to him. That cuts off everything that is of man. But here it means it flows back to him. It flows back to him. Salvation be unto God. All may receive the glory of his own doings. Long live the King. If you come from the Netherlands, then you know that on Queen's Day, there is that shout. Leve de koningin. May she live. What do God's children say when they are in heaven? Long live the King. May he live forever and ever. So their first interest is not their own happiness, but the glory and the happiness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of the triune God. That is salvation. That is salvation. To see that all is well. That even those attributes of God, which I violated in Adam, which I trampled upon with my horrible life, that those attributes, those perfections, those virtues of God are now all in agreement and glorified in the blood of Christ. In the blood of Christ. Salvation be unto God. Glory be to God in the highest. On earth peace. Goodwill towards man. That is salvation. And that will be your salvation. If you by grace learn to bow as a hell-deserving creature before a holy and just God. I know of a young man, he was 17 years old, and the Lord arrested him. He stopped him in his mad career to everlasting destruction. And that young man, turned around by God, he couldn't say, "Now I'm saved." That's not where it begins. Then you see, I'm lost. I'm lost. God's people are saved. I'm lost. They are happy. I am miserable. They have something. I have nothing. And I'm so jealous. In such a holy manner, so jealous of God's people. Oh, I wish they were my people. As Ruth said it, thy people are my people and thy God, my God. I would rather live with them and suffer persecution and than to go back into this world. And this young man, 17 years old, he said, "Lord, if I would have to stand outside forever, and here's the wall. Here's the wall around Jerusalem. And within that wall, there is God, and there is the Lamb." And it was as if he saw that multitude that no man could number. He saw them in their long white robes, washed in the blood of Christ, with those palm branches of victory, and they stood near the throne of God, and he stood outside. Boys, He stood outside, girls. And he said, oh Lord, this is the place I deserve. But if only there might be a hole, a little hole in that wall. And I could peep through that hole and see the happiness of thy children and the glory of God. That would still be my happiness. That would still be such a wonder. Oh Lord, give me that place. I know that young man very well. At least I hope I know him very well, because it's the same man who after almost or a little over 40 years now is still the same rebel, although very blessed by the Lord. And that's the place I wish for you as an outsider, because it's those outsiders who become insiders. It's the people who deserve nothing. They will receive everything. Even in a crumb of grace, they will taste the whole loaf of bread. Even a beam from that Son of Righteousness warms their hearts, enlightens their souls, because it comes from Him and it connects with Him, with Christ. And through Christ, they are joined unto God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you now understand why Father Slingeland was so glad when he would receive a little token of that favor again? Oh, then you have never enough of God. That's the reason I believe that he did not only read the Bible 3 times or 5 times a day, but that he was also reading 3 daily devotionals. And you may say he was an old man, he had the time for that. I'm a trucker, I can't. I believe you. But he did not read all those books because he had the military discipline and, you know, you have to do these things, otherwise you're not fit for heaven. No. Was his life, was his food, was his drink. Is it also your food? Has it become your drink? May the Lord bless you with thirst. Much thirst. Much spiritual hunger. Because it is the hungry that are filled with good things, whereas the rich are sent empty away. Much more could be said about it, for time's sake. This is my wish. And this would be the wish of your father, of your grandfather, of your great-grandfather, and those very little ones who do not understand it because they're so small. I think of that little one, for instance, of Lydia, not understanding where Opa is. So difficult for them to comprehend it. But then parents, you may speak about it. And when they grow up, tell them. And try to exemplify it in your own life, so that from generation to generation, that name of God will proceed, because how horrible it would be if there was such a grandfather, and you must stand outside forever, because you despised that great salvation. You embraced the world. You drank in sin like water. You had no interest. And then the day comes that there's no time anymore. Oh, time is calling, that eternity is approaching. And that eternity tells us that it is time. Time. High time to seek the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may we come unto thee in these very moments, We had hoped to say more from this gold mine, this chapter, but there's a time for everything, a season to be here, to gather, but also a time to rise and to go to gather to the cemetery. All will thou undergird and give strength now that we have to carry the mortal remains of that dear father to the grave, where his body shall be entrusted to the bosom of the earth until the day of Jesus' return. And Lord, we pray, help also when mourning family and friends before the interment, we read from God's holy word, Psalm 103. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crownest thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. So far, then the casket will be lowered into the grave. I can imagine it is very difficult for the children especially to see this, to stand around the grave, and Opa, Grand Opa, is lowered into the grave. You will never forget this all your life. It is so solemn. It was only a moment ago that you could still see him. He did not speak any longer. He did not look at you anymore.
But you could look at him that was in the church when the casket was still open. Now it is closed. Now it is lowered into the grave. And when we leave, this grave will be closed. It's difficult. But don't forget, this is only the body of Opa. His soul is not buried. No. When he died, his soul left the prison. His soul went back to God. And we may believe that Opa had a new heart, and that it's not sad if you have to die. No. Then it is such a wonder to be with the Lord forever, where the angels are singing. We are not singing. We are grieved. And we feel it. That Opa is no longer here. That Father is no longer among us. But even this body will be raised. The grave will be closed when we have left. But it will open again on the day that the Lord Jesus will come back. And then with body and soul, God's people will magnify the Lord forevermore. Opa. That's what I read here. He wrote his name. Opa. And this is a letter that he wrote on the 13th of May in 2011. That must have been around his birthday. He would turn 95 if he would still be alive next month. Now he wrote this, and I cannot read this whole letter to you, but just the last words. And he says, all in all, it has become a long letter. You are not used to that from me. And it could well be the last letter. I don't know whether this was the last letter. But maybe he felt it could be the last letter. It is so special to still be able to do this at my age. I hope the reading does not tire you too much. Not everyone is happy with my writing. I can hardly believe that. Maybe that is how he was inwardly attacked, that some people would think this is just rambling. But woe, woe to those who reject such words, who do not take them to heart if that's really true. That there were some people who were not happy with his writing. But let's leave that. That's for everyone's account. It takes me some time to read it over, he continues, and that goes faster than the writing. I hope you noticed it was not a chore to sigh under for me to write this. As I showed you, it was looking unto that great guy. All the honor to his name. Could it be that you may all share in that? Never forget that if it was possible for me, then it is surely possible for others. That was the end. Opa. He says, if I could be converted, if I could be saved, if I could receive a new heart, I could go to heaven, then surely you can also receive a new heart, because I'm the least, and I'm the last. Well, that is the language of someone who has been led through that great tribulation. You remember it? We heard that in the church, and John stood there. And he saw it. He saw what was happening. He saw that great multitude. And And then one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence, from where came they? And then John has to say, Lord, sir, I don't know. Thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Great tribulation. Eh? If you receive a new heart, your life will not always be easy. Then there will be a strife. There will be tribulation. The Lord Jesus said it. And there will be a great tribulation at last over all the earth. And the worst enemies are not people who come against you, but the worst enemies are within your own heart. That is sin, and it is the devil, and it is the world. And sometimes God's people think, I will succumb. I will never reach the end. But they are wrong. They will arrive in that new Jerusalem. Look, there they stand before the throne of God and the Lamb. They have washed their robes. That means, first of all, they have received those robes. By nature, spiritually, we are naked. We have all kinds of rags, and we try to be decent, and we try to be religious, and but all those rags have to be taken away. And that garment of Jesus' righteousness has to be given and to be put around us. That is salvation. But then there is also daily conversion. Then every day again, we must go back to the Lord and confess our sins. And we have to wash our robes by grace, by faith, in the fountain of Jesus' blood. While they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. No longer here in this wilderness, in this meshach of misery, but they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And they stand there. They stand there. See? When a bride comes into the church, then we all stand up because we are joyful. We want to be respectful. We stand up. Oh, they stand before God to serve Him, to praise Him, to show honor to His name. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Opa could not eat much any longer in the hospital, and sometimes his lips were so dry that they had to be made wet. And his children stood around him, also his little girl, what he called his little girl, Judy, from BC, and the others, every one of them. But now he's not thirsty anymore. And he doesn't hunger anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed him. The good shepherd, who is also the Lamb, He brings them to the living fountains of waters. Oh, friends, seek the Lord before it's too late. If you wouldn't seek Him now, when will you seek Him? What hinders you? What keeps you back from coming to Him? He is such a good master. He is so worthy. Oh, that God of your grandfather, your father, your great-grandfather, you may call on Him and you may say, Lord, oh, be also my God. Teach me to deny myself, to turn away from everything that sinks me into the depth of hell and destruction. Draw me with cords of love, that I may drink from the fountains of living water. Because in hell there is no water, and the waters of this world are salty. Really. I can say that out of my own experience. I tried so many things before the Lord stopped me. And it was like drinking from seawater. The more you drink from it, the more thirsty you become. But not that you may come to those living waters. Then you have never... Now don't think that every tear will fall into that bottle of God. There are many tears. And they are real. You mean it. But if you don't cry for God, and your tears will not fall into his bottle, but beside that bottle. And what I hope is that you may learn to weep about your sins, that you may learn to weep for God. Maybe you do so already. Maybe there are children and young people here who cannot be happy without God, without the God of their grandfather. Well, the day is coming that he will wipe away your tears. And if you here go through much tribulation, much bitterness, then heaven will be all the sweeter at the end. Then Christ himself will take away those tears with a soft towel. The towel of his mouth will wipe away the tears that you cried about guilt, about the pollution of sin, but also the consequences of sin, also about the loss of a dear one. All tears. Oh, the Lord bless you all. All of you. And may he grant you that one thing needful. It's difficult to stop, you know why? Because it's difficult to part from this grave. And it's also difficult to see so many standing here who cannot die, who still do not have a new heart. Oh, I wish that I could give it, but I can't. The Lord can. Call on him and ask him for a place at his feet. I want to conclude with a poem. It's from a very old friend. He passed away just 1 or 2 years ago near London in England. He was a minister of the Strict and Particular Baptist Church, Mr. Wood. And I remember him as a dear servant of God. And he became almost as old as Mr. Martin Slingeland. And this is what he wrote before he died. Lord, to thee I come in prayer. May I hear thy still small voice. Take me now beneath thy care. Let thy ways be all my choice. Tell me, Lord, that I am thine in the covenant of thy grace. For this blessing, Lord, I pine. Do not turn away my case. Speak thy precious word to me, that for sinners yet there's room, that the gospel still is free, that the needy still may come. May my sins be all forgiven. Keep me by thy boundless love. May I be prepared for heaven, there to dwell with thee above. Show me, Lord, there yet is room, room beneath thy wings to hide. Room at Calvary's cross to come, room to plead the Savior's blood, room at mercy's door to knock, room before the throne of grace, room for me upon the rock, room by him to find a place. In thy house, Lord, there is room. Hear that? If you have left God's house, come back. Come back. In thy house, Lord, there is room with thy saints to worship thee. Help me, Lord, to thee to come. I cannot come by myself. Even this old pilgrim had to confess that. Help me, Lord, to thee to come. Manifest thy love to me. At the end, all may I prove there is room in heaven for me, there to dwell with thee above, room near thee eternally. So be it.
Dear family and all that are gathered here, on behalf of our family, we were asked to say a word of thanks. First, thank you to our minister for his visits to Dad while he was in the hospital. We know that Dad had a special bond with you as our minister, and he had hopes that you would be able to do his funeral service. The Lord, in his good wisdom and goodness, has made this possible, and we also hope that the message of God's word in this afternoon and also at this place may be blessed to many hearts. Also, Elder Groenendijk, thank you for your visits to Dad as elder, as friend, as neighbor. Then we thank the staff on the fourth floor of Lethbridge Regional Hospital for their excellent care of Dad. We thank our brothers for being pallbearers, the custodians for their extra work, the ladies who hope to serve the lunch. We thank Martin Brothers for their professional service, and much appreciated. Then our sister, Honey, as the only daughter that lives close to Dad, we have no words to thank you for all you have done for Dad for so many years. May the Lord reward you. Also, Wim and Ellie, with your children, how can we, as brothers and sisters, thank you both for everything you and your family have been able and willing to do for our parents, and especially for Dad in the last years, for we know it was done with love. Let us end in the Lord, for it was He alone who made it all possible for you to do what you did, and it was the Lord alone who made Dad's last years such a blessed period in his life. We will all miss our father and grandfather, but Wim, you and your family, that we as brothers and sisters cannot imagine, because you were always so close to him. May the Lord bless you and your family. Brothers and sisters, but especially the grandchildren, the passing away of our father and grandfather is a loss in a way that many do not understand or realize. For our father and grandfather was a praying man. He had an inner chamber where many prayers were sent daily for the spiritual welfare of his children and grandchildren. Also, in this respect, the office bearers and the whole congregation will miss him, for he carried the burdens and needs of the congregation in his prayers. Further, all who are here with us in this time of sorrow, and all who showed your sympathy in any way, a hearty thank you on behalf of the family. I thank you.